Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and today, pretty excited to bring you Stavely Minerals. For those of you that don't know, the ASX code for Stavely Minerals is SVY. Joining me today is Executive Chairman and Managing Director Chris Cairns. Now, he's a very busy guy, ladies and gentlemen, so I'm excited to see Chris. They've got projects in Western Victoria, a couple of projects down there, one that I really want to focus on today, but this is a great story. I've known Chris for a long time. He's been methodically working on this project, but right now it's at a very exciting time in its immersion, I guess. Chris, great to see you. Welcome to Small Caps.
Thank you, Kerry. Yeah, great to be here. Great to be here and good to talk to you.
Chris, some of our subscribers may not know about Stavely. So before we dive deep into the projects and where you're at and all the news that's coming out, give us a brief overview, if you like, of the projects, where you're at, and where they're situated.
Yeah, sure. I think the real background really starts with Integra Mining. The management team here accepted a takeover offer from Silver Lake Resources for an operation that we developed east of Kalgoorlie. And the team wanted to stay together. So in 2013, we were looking for new opportunities. And to tell the truth, this project came across my desk and look, I wasn't really that enthused by it. I don't think it was really well framed. And let's face it, it was in Victoria that at the time was probably somewhere in the Fraser Institute rankings of exploration destinations, somewhere between Uzbekistan and Nigeria. So I think they've redeemed themselves a little bit since then. And really, to be fair, that probably was based on the moratorium on onshore gas exploration that the Victorian government had in place at the time. They've since removed. But I took a visit to the project, and really it was what the drill core told me. It really said that these guys probably did not realize what they'd just drilled, the Beaconsfield group. And it looked to me like it was a system that really was the upper level expression of a buried porphyry. So I came back to Perth and recommended to our group that we buy it privately, which we did. We did some work on it up until 2014, and then took it to market in May 2014. We were the only IPO for resources in that year, so it was a very bad year. Look, there were no institutional players in resources at the time, and it was a bit of a dry period. But we did. So it's in Western Victoria. It's broadacre cropping. It's relatively flat land, and about 3 hours outside of Melbourne. So we commenced doing some deep drilling, looking for this porphyry, and the program really evolved over time to the point where we drilled quite a few holes, but we hadn't found the porphyry. But in the doing so, we had hit some high-grade structurally controlled mineralization, and one of our consultants very helpfully suggested that we were just a small explorer and probably couldn't afford to drill too many deep holes, and that maybe we should look for some of this structurally controlled high-grade stuff closer to surface. So in September 2019, we drilled hole 50, which returned 32 metres at 5.88% copper gram gold and 58 gram silver from about 62 metres depth, and that was it. Yeah, we'd discovered the Cayley lode. Cayley being Ross Cayley, actually being one of the Geological Survey of Victoria geologists who really had worked with his colleagues in the survey and also Geoscience Australia to map out the porphyry potential in this region, which really flew well under the radar at the time.
Sorry, Chris, for those that don't understand, just explain what a porphyry is.
Sure. So a porphyry is I think everybody understands from primary school that there's three types of rock. There's sedimentary, intrusive, and metamorphic. Well, porphyries are intrusives, but they're a special kind of intrusive, like a granite, but they've got a lot of fluids associated with them and metals also. And so the fluids emanate above the intrusive and often form a copper or molybdenum or copper gold or mixed metal sort of a mineralization. They're typically large tonnage, relatively modest grade, but really are the single largest source of copper, for example, in the world. So they're very economically important. And they're well studied, well understood. And you know, there's a lot of literature on what they look like when you're, you know, several kilometers away, because they are very big systems, and then how they change as you get closer and closer in towards the more central core where the economic portion is. So it's an interesting style of mineralization with huge upside. And look, obviously, you know, copper as a thematic is very much at the forefront of people's thinking these days in terms of low carbon economy transition and electrification of transport. All of those sorts of things are pushing demand for copper, and you know, these things are not easy to find. So
that's exactly what I was about to say, Chris. I was going to say, but porphyries, they're tricky little beasts, aren't they? It's not like some people think, oh, copper, you just go out and you find it. No, these are quite difficult and quite tricky.
Yeah, that's right. And so it's to a degree, you know, there's a cohort of people who understand them well, and you have to do, as you had described our programs, methodical and systematic type programs, and build up the science and understand where you are in the system. That gives you a chance at finding something. And then, of course, it's up to Mother Nature whether it's got the grade and the size that's going to be economic. But I think the first thing is that you need, well, one of the best things in the context of Staveley is that in this emerging portion of Western Victoria, we were encouraged by that work that the Geological Survey of Victoria and Geoscience Australia had done to map out the potential in the area, but no one had taken advantage of that. Nobody. So we were the first mover, in effect. So we managed to accumulate a commanding land position. And whilst to a degree we've been heavily focused since the discovery of the Cayley Lode, hole 50, on just drilling out that Cayley Lode. It's near surface, high grade, structurally controlled mineralization. And to my mind, without question, there's a porphyry driving the system at depth. We've yet to see that. So that's a work in progress. But I think the laser-like focus on just defining what we've got near surface in the Cayley Lode has been really all that we've been doing since 2019. Mm-hmm. We've just entered into an agreement with one of the landholders to get the final piece in the puzzle in terms of the southern extension that we've agreed we can be on the ground on the 1st of December and finish that little bit of drilling.
Why is that important? Like, why is that important? Because in my mind's eye, I've got, you know, you did a hole 50, you're scoping it out, you're understanding a little bit more about it. Why is that last little bit of the puzzle important?
Yeah, look, in Victoria, you need the consent of the landholder to come onto his property to drill holes. And, you know, we're very rigorous in terms of rehabilitation, and we've got some fabulous footage on the website showing a paddock where we've drilled over 50 drill holes, and there's a wheat crop in the paddock, and you just simply cannot see that we've been there.
Love that. That's a you know, for all of you out there that think that the miners go out and destroy things, go and have a look at, what's the website again? I should know it.
Yeah, staveley.com.au. You know, there's a tab in there, technical data, and there's other tabs in there where there's drone footage and fly-throughs and a whole bunch of stuff in terms of community engagement on what the activities are that we do in terms of soil sampling or air core drilling or diamond drilling, and how we go about rehabilitating and what the outcome is. And we're very proud of all of those videos. And look, I think the reality is that we need to conduct ourselves in a way where the local community feel that they're benefiting from us being there.
Yeah.
And that extends from, you know, the early exploration phase through to a production phase, obviously. Certainly we've been at pains to make sure that we hire locally so that, you know, even relatively, you know, we've probably got less than 15 employees out there, but there are wages going into the local economy. Our major drill contractor is based in Ballarat. So, you know, we've probably spent in excess of $30 million so far on exploration with, you know, local firms and local employees.
When you say the drilling firms from Ballarat, give us an idea of where the project is, because we don't have a picture on screen. So visually, how sure. far away? Did you say you were 30 miles outside of Melbourne?
No, we're 210 kilometres west of Melbourne. And so it's a 3-hour drive. If you drive out towards Hamilton, then you go through a whole bunch of little towns. So you can go up to 100 Ks, then down to 80, then down to 60 and up to 80. And then, so you go through it. So that's why it takes 3 hours to get from Melbourne.
If you could just go at 120, it'd take half an hour. But anyway.
Well, if you can go the main highway to Adelaide, from Melbourne to Adelaide goes to Ararat, and then you come south from there. And again, it's about the same time.
Right. Okay, so how much work? So you've talked about the Cayley load, and I want to focus on that. Is that your main focus at Staveley Minerals, is the Cayley load and getting that up to the next stage?
It has been, definitely. So really, we've been waiting for access to that southern paddock, which really represents its 16 drill holes, and it completes our resource definition drilling program from surface down to about 200 metres over a strike length of about 1.5 kilometres. So it's quite an extensive system. Once we've completed that drilling, then there will be a component of drilling deeper to extend the load down. And I think I'd mentioned that in, you know, pre-discovery drill holes, we had hit a number of structurally controlled intervals at depth, and at depths between 500 to 1,000 metres wow. deep. So we know that the system's quite tall, and so we do expect that we're going to be quite reasonably expect that we can extend that shallow mineralization down to a kilometer depth. So,
and is it fairly consistent from a grade point of view, or are you finding that it's a little bit, you know, very high grade in patches?
Well, look, the geostatistics are very good. So we've done a couple of preliminary resource runs, and without boggling the audience with numbers, we look at the geostatistics, and it tells us things about grade variance within the ore body and how far from a drill sample you can reliably extrapolate the grade into a resource model. And the numbers, you know, the stats that we're seeing is that it's well behaved in terms of variance, and that the ranges are somewhere in the order of 80 to 100 meters, which is very good in the context of structurally controlled high-grade mineralization, and way better than what you would normally see in a gold deposit, for example.
Yeah.
So it is very well behaved. We drilled it at 40 by 40. You don't know the answer until you've finished, got enough data. And so if the truth be known, we probably over-drilled it a little bit, but that also does mean that we'll have a large proportion of that material in the higher confidence indicated resources category, mm-hmm. which helps us when we want to come out to market with a scoping study that has production forecasts and financial numbers involved, because ASIC will require us to have reasonable basis.
Yeah, I'll get onto the scoping study in a minute. I mean, you're sure. in Western Victoria, Chris. A lot of people know Victoria as, you know, gold. You know, you've got Fosterville and you've got Navarre and you've got a Kalamazoo, various companies that are looking for gold, but your focus is copper. Was your original focus always going to be copper, or did your brain say, look, there's possibly a gold deposit here and it's just moved across because of what you're finding at the moment?
No, it was always copper. We decided that, you know, if we wanted to go for gold, tell the truth, we'd stay in WA. But we recently did float another company, E79 Gold Mines. But the copper prospectivity, there's a structural break called the Mostyn Fault, on the eastern side of which Ararat, Stol, and then you get into the Bendigo-Ballarat type of mineralization to the east of that structure. To the west of that structure is more copper perspective. It was the continental margin. So if you consider in 500 million years ago that you have got subduction on the west coast of Chile, where the oceanic plate is subducting under the South American continent. Well, we had exactly the same thing 500 million years ago on that margin. That was the continental margin of Australia at the time, with subduction of the oceanic plate going on the eastern margin of Australia. So we had this volcanic arc through that area, and that arc extends into South Australia. So there's some substantial copper deposits in eastern South Australia. Mm-hmm. And we're part of that whole continental margin type of system. Whereas, as I say, to the east of the Mostyn Fault, it's a different kettle of fish with the high-grade sedimentary hosted gold deposits.
I want to get into the other projects, Chris, but before I do, this is an investor audience that we're talking to. Let's talk about burn rate. Let's talk about funding and how you're at the moment, how much cash you've got at the moment, and what the news flow will be. In other words, what are you going to be doing between now and the end of the year? Have you got enough cash? Talk about funding. Because investors are out there. I mean, by the way, I looked at your share price this morning. It's had a nice little rise, which is fantastic. So congrats. But talk to us about where you see the value for our investor audience out there.
Yeah, sure. Look, the reality about operating in Western Victoria is that it can be very challenging to logistically to manoeuvre in the winter period. That's when they get a lot of their rain. This year was particularly wet. We've got a El Nino weather pattern that has caused a wet summer and a wet winter, and forecasts for Eastern Australia at the moment are wet spring and wet summer again. Mm. So the farmers will be happy, but it does really place some challenges on us in terms of operating drill rigs, 30-ton drill rigs in paddocks when it's so wet. So we took a decision that we weren't going to push the envelope this year, and that we've scaled back the drilling during the winter periods. In doing so, we had conserved cash, given that drilling is our major expenditure by far. In fact, if we look at the June quarterly, we did an assessment, and 92% of expenditure went into the ground. So that's
really
a number.
92.
So that's a number we're really proud of. That we don't fly business class, we don't stay in flash hotels, but we drill a lot of holes. So the shareholders get best bang for their buck that way. But in doing so, now our current cash balance, we just had a board meeting this week, was $11.3 million. So we've always had an objective that we wanted to complete the resource drill out. We wanted to get the scoping study out in the public domain, and that we wouldn't be coming to market until the market was fully informed in terms of what the resource looked like and what the scoping study outcomes were. So the timing for that is resource completed in the first quarter next year, scoping study out in April, possibly May, depending on how we go with the resource. Then we don't come to the market until everybody's had a good look at that. So it's an eyes wide open type of situation.
That's really good. Yeah.
Indeed. That. Yeah. And very deliberately, we felt that we raised in our previous raise enough money to achieve those two key objectives. And that when we came back to the market, it was on the basis that everybody was well informed as to what the project looked like. Having said that, so we hope to get on the ground for the resource drilling in December. We've come to agreement with the owner of that paddock that we've had some challenge getting access to. That might be impacted a little bit by
wet.
Wet, yes. But look, in principle, we're in there, and we'll work around that. We don't have a large number of holes to drill. In the interim, we've also got a very, very exciting regional exploration program. So we've been, during the off season, if you will, the geologists have been very busy ranking and prioritizing regional targets. And some of them are very, very exciting in the context that before the rain came in, we announced some results from a new prospect about 25 k's to the north of the Cayley Lode called Tura West.
All right.
Where we drilled through 30 meters of cover and we've hit porphyry style mineralization with copper and moly and silver. And so air core really is just a reconnaissance technique. It just gets us through that transported cover. So the two takeaways there is, one is that the team has demonstrated that they can target porphyry style mineralization under 30 meters of transported cover where there's no surface expression whatsoever. So we've evolved this methodology where we can target undercover, and we've got almost 20 targets to be tested in the next couple of months. So the field reconnaissance will determine how deep that cover is and whether we can use soil auger or whether we have to use air core to test those targets. So it's a very, very exciting period for me as an explorationist. That's where my passion is, that we'll be on the ground, first mover on a bunch of these new targets that no one else has tested before. And then come 1st of December, we've got an access agreement to come in and finish that resource. And you know, the reality is that Thursday's Gossan and the Cayley Lode is in a little window of where you can see the rocks. To the north and to the south and to the east, there's transported cover. And so we have somewhere in the order of 115 strike kilometers of the prospective belts. And there's only about 30 kilometers of that where you can see the rocks, and that's where all the known prospects are. So the other 85 kilometers of the belts are undercover and never been tested, but we've demonstrated that we have the ability to discover porphyries under that cover with that Tura West thing. So that'll be diamond drilled as soon as we get on the ground there. It's a little bit of a swampy area, but I certainly would expect we'd have some diamond drill holes into that before Christmas.
So there's a lot of news coming up, but Chris, I've known you for a while, and in fact, I remember you from the Integra days, and that was a great deal for shareholders. You did solid work, and the return for shareholders was great in those days. And you've been in this industry for a while. In terms of not excitement, that's not the right word, but you know, you've been around. What are you looking at when you see where you're at with Staveley in terms of this is a new discovery and this has got so much potential to grow and to develop into something that could give shareholders a good return?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I did spend quite a bit of my career with BHP and working in Southeast Asia and Indonesia and China, and really looking for big discoveries. And this is, you know, in the Eastern Goldfields, you can be successful with a modest discovery. It's pretty rare that you make a major discovery, like De Grey, for example. There's a major discovery, but there's probably, you know, 1,000 companies trying to emulate them that will never get there.
Yeah.
But what really excites me, and look, you know, not to put the mockers on the Cayley Lode, because it's a fantastic discovery, and you know, the scoping, I'm confident the scoping study is going to show how robust that is as a development proposition. But I don't think that the market really focuses on the upside here, that you know, as a first mover into this region, we've got that dominant land position. And we've got all of these opportunities. We've demonstrated that Tura West is a new porphyry discovery. I don't think that's even registering on the needle in terms of the share price and the potential. And we've got another, you know, almost 20 targets yet to test in that context. So if people are sort of thinking that the Cayley Lode is the pinnacle of where we're going to get to, I think that they're badly misjudging what the potential here is. And the potential could be orders of magnitude, not multiples. It's
wow. Okay. Well, and listen, I agree with you, because I was focused on the Cayley load. So you're saying the Cayley load is just that's just the beginning, Kerry. What we have is massive exploration upside to create. Are you saying this could be a whole district?
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. And it's not dissimilar, I think, to where Newcrest probably was with Cadia. Now, Cadia was, and that whole area, Cadia East, Cadia Quarry, Cadia Ridgeway, etc. The whole Cadia complex is several mineralized ore bodies there. And the truth is that they probably wouldn't have gotten developed unless they'd discovered the high-grade Cadia Ridgeway. The rest of them were relatively modest and probably didn't pay for the capital. We've sort of done it the other way around, where we've found the high-grade thing in the Cayley load. The scoping study will demonstrate that that pays for the capital.
Right.
And then we've got all of these other opportunities that likely, Tura West, for example, is likely to come in as a typical porphyry. We don't know what the grade is going to be, but, the interesting concept is that we're currently thinking about developing a processing plant at the Cayley load. But the truth is that because the Cayley load is high grade and it's likely to have a long underground life as well as the open pit that we're currently contemplating, that ore will truck anywhere.
Yeah.
And that if we have a large low grade discovery at Tura West or any one of the other almost 20 targets that we've got, all of a sudden you've got a development proposition where you've already identified the sweet high grade that you can put into the process plant early in the mine life while you're paying back loans and all of that sort of thing. And then you're left with an operation that in the context of the North Parks sort of operations, for example, have mine lives in the order of 50 or more years.
Good.
So, yeah. So I think the thinking about the opportunity of our ground position in Western Victoria needs to be turned on its head a little bit in terms of Cayley load not being the be all and end all, but just a small part of what could be a much bigger puzzle.
So I think the message that you're saying to people right now is everybody's been focusing on the Cayley load. Everyone's getting, staying focused on the fact that this is high grade and copper is a commodity that a lot of people are talking about at the moment. But what you're saying, Chris, you're very experienced in this, that this is what you're doing is you're unlocking a whole district. Cayley load can be the payback for the capital expenditure. And then the rest is, excuse the pun, icing on the cake. Is that what you're saying?
That is exactly right. That is exactly right. And we are saying, look, it's not going to take much. We've got Cayley load, we've got Tura West. How many more do we have to discover before people start to think of this as an emerging porphyry province in a tier one jurisdiction? It's not off in Ecuador or Peru or anywhere like that, or where they're going to change the tax regime.
Yep.
Thank you, Dr. Swan. But aside from Wayne Swan.
He's not here anymore, but anyway, yep.
Would you call that a black swan event?
Oh, that's very good, Chris. I quite like that. Speaking of black swans and Wayne swans and all the rest of it, do you get much support? And we are running out of time, so I want to make sure I just quickly go through this. Much support from the Victorian government or the federal government for what you're unlocking down there in Western Victoria?
Look, I have to say, honestly, despite, the Victorian government not necessarily being my political persuasion, every interaction that we've had with them has been excellent. They've been very supportive. They've given us to date almost $1.5 million worth of co-funding. And so in effect, they've backed us into the Cayley load discovery. Our new tenement came, which we won in a tender, has just been granted, came with $480,000 worth of grants that we're yet to apply, but certainly we'll chew those up very quickly. It's co-funded, so we have to equal that grant. Yep. The approvals process, all of that sort of thing, community engagement, local government, it's actually been a very pleasant process. So I think that Victoria, notwithstanding their former, Fraser Institute rankings, our experience on the ground has been very favourable and they are very supportive. And look, the government has spoken at great length about promoting regional development and employment in regional communities. And, you know, when you look at, you know, farming is the mainstay out in those areas, but farming now is an industrial corporate type of an activity where either you get big or you get out. So yeah. The traditional family farm is not a viable model these days. And so they need to diversify their economies in regional areas to be able to give families a reason to stay in those districts. You know, the whole thing about gentrification and hollowing out those communities where, you know, they can't even field a team for the local bloody AFL competition, and they have to amalgamate with the town next door, which is the case with Glenn Thompson. So it definitely recognised that they need to support development in regional areas. And so it's not contrary to any of their messaging in that context.
The message that I'm getting, Chris, is that you're well-funded, you're going to develop the Cayley Lode, but the upside is everything else, that this is unlocking a whole copper province down there, copper district, I should say, down there in Western Victoria. And really, to investors that are listening, you're only just getting started. Even though you've been around for long, it's been a very methodical way of doing things. But right now, if people understand what it is that you've got, is a great opportunity.
Yeah, that's the way we see it. And look, I think the reality of the past couple of months is that we have been quiet. We've been beavering away in the background. So there hasn't been the usual news flow that you would come to expect from us. But we're just on the cusp of getting very, very busy with a really exciting program coming up to Christmas. And then we roll into that resource estimate and then the scoping study. So it's a very exciting opportunity for us. So we're bursting sort of like a coiled spring. We're ready to go.
On.
Yeah, look, I think I'm a dyed in the wool explorer. So it's a very, very exciting period for me. And I think it's fair to say that the team on site are absolutely raring and chomping at the bit to get into these targets they've developed. And credit to them, they've been methodical and systematic about how they've derived these targets. And you know, we've invested in quite a lot of geophysics, which has helped us a lot. Very exciting time for us.
Okay, well, we're running out of time here, Chris. Everybody knows that this is what I do because it's an investor audience. Chris, three reasons why right now people should be sitting up and taking notice of Stable, because you've been around a little while. Why you think that this is I guess, a pivotal moment in the development of Stavely Minerals?
Sure. Well, the first reason is that we're in the right commodity. Everybody understands that there's the electric vehicle revolution, that there's transition to a low carbon economy. So copper is the place to be. It is the largest single traded commodity that is a future facing commodity. The market is huge. The second reason is that we're now painting a picture where we're in an emerging porphyry province. It's not just about the Cayley Lode. Cayley could just be the start, and we could well be demonstrating something much, much bigger than that. So I think people need to expand their expectations a little bit about what this could be. And the third reason is we've got good news flow. As I say, we've been a little bit quiet to date. Maybe that's reflected in the share price. But we've got this really exciting exploration program coming on for the regional targets. Then we get into the paddock and we start finishing that resource drilling. Now that flows into a scoping study. So the next 6 months for us is really, really a pivotal period, not just for the focus on the Cayley Lode, but for the much bigger picture. It's huge.
Well, you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Stavely Minerals are just getting started. They're well-funded. They've got money in the bank. As Chris said, the Cayley Lode will fund, but it's the exploration upside. Resource estimate, scoping study to come. Plenty of news flow coming forward. We'll cover it all here on Small Caps. Chris Cairns, Executive Chairman and Managing Director of Stavely Minerals. Really appreciate your time on Small Caps today. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate it.